This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Not literally, but figuratively speaking, I did a lot of pointing and laughing late Friday night and into Saturday morning. It was I know you guys saw this because it was all over. First of all, I enjoyed the Tyson and Paul fight. Maybe not like the true fight aspect of it. It was enjoyable. It was a spectacle. It was why we watch. But the thing that really made me sort of, like I said, point and laugh at the hypocrisy. How many people were out there saying, boy, if you guys watch this, boy, did you get taken, or this was an embarrassment, or it was staged, or it was a scam. Every one of those people watched it. Every one of, because all these tweets were coming in like right after the fight or late in the fight or, you know, the next morning. Boy, you know, what a scam that was. You watched it. You watched it. It was a spectacle. If you went in with the right mindset, I'm curious, like we all were, you know, maybe Mike Tyson can do something. We all thought that. Maybe we were all wrong. Time was undefeated. You know, remember I told you guys I had that pain in my hip last mm-hmm, Thursday. Mm-hmm, I thought that's mm-hmm. why he's going to lose, because it just comes out of nowhere. And he comes out in a knee brace. He comes out in a knee brace.
It was a good point made by Joel Anderson of, I guess, now the Ringer, mm-hmm. and he had said, like, hey, man, Mike Tyson was washed like 20 years ago as a fighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, yeah, Jake Paul is a bigger dude. He's got more reach and obviously younger. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, we might be setting ourselves for a bad thing.
But
I disagree with you on one point, though, mm-hmm. which is, yes, it was supposed to be spectacle, but we got there and there wasn't anything to spectate. Right? Like, it was.
But it was a spectacle, the event. And then all these people, I know you guys saw them, and I know our listeners saw them. Oh, yeah, I can't believe y'all fell for this. You did.
Yeah,
but you did.
There were some people that didn't. I will say there was a small selection.
See, my mindset was a little different because I knew Mike Tyson didn't have it to fight. He's 58 years old, man. So my thing was, I just didn't want him to come out looking embarrassed.
Right.
I didn't want him to get knocked down. I didn't want that to be a bad moment where mm-hmm. it's just like, man, just stop the fight type of moment. But like, you could tell Jake Paul was kind of in it too.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't really doing nothing either.
And that's the thing is, like,
they sold us that fight, man.
And this is where I have.
But we watched.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I had no problem with that. Like, I didn't want to see.
That's the problem. That's my confession. Like, all these people that I can't believe y'all did this. Yeah. It was a scam.
And I had that question
about
myself.
Don't lie to me.
I had the question about myself. Is like, okay, how should I feel about this? They clearly were going a little. They weren't going as hard as they needed to. Like, Jake Paul obviously was not trying to sit that man down.
Nah.
But then at that time, like, How do I feel that I went into this knowing that there was no win for him in sitting that man down?
Mm-hmm.
And if he, like, hey, man, I saw a fight that where it felt like they did not actually go and try. But if he had tried, I don't know how I would have felt about that either, right? And actually sat that man down. And so ultimately who I am mad at is a little bit myself, but majority the Texas State Athletic Commission. Because why did you sanction this as an actual fight?
Yeah. I had an issue with, I seen a couple people bet money on this fight. I'm just like, why would you do that?
It was the most bet fight in, I saw it earlier and I can't remember, but a long time. Yeah. 67% of the money was on Tyson.
Yeah, I was upset with the people acting like they just got ripped off. Like, first of all, it's on Netflix. So, like, yeah, okay, you got ripped off.
And I would still like my money.
You got ripped off from $7.99 or whatever.
But oh, no, it's like, more than that now.
But this ivory tower feeling that people were, especially people in the media, like, all right, you know, it was a scam. Dude, you were plugged in. Don't lie.
It was just good seeing Tyson walk out and all that stuff. Like, I kind of looked at, to me, I felt like it was a win for him just going 8 rounds for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just didn't want him to get embarrassed or fall down or just just look out of it for the simple fact he's 58 years old and he was just sparring pretty much with Jake Paul. I felt like that was fun. I wasn't looking for 1988 Mike Tyson.
I wanted to have a moment of 1988 Mike Tyson. Just like, you know, a split second where you were like, ooh, look.
Yeah.
There's a little bit. And that's you're right. It was all gone.
Yeah.
Watch this. This is not a new thought that I had this weekend. It's one that I've had many a times. We were talking earlier about how Brock Bowers is a cheat code for the Raiders. His former backup at the University of Georgia, Darnell Washington, as I was watching the precursor to like the earliest part of the really fun games, we had a really fun AFC matchup in all three of the Sunday slates.
Yeah.
And in the early slate, it was Pittsburgh, Baltimore. And Darnell Washington, tight end for Pittsburgh. We shouldn't make those.
That dude is a monster.
That dude is the size of a tackle who has the speed and the elusiveness, I guess, or the movement of a tight end. And they were just hitting him over the middle, like boom. And I was like, we shouldn't make those.
He's
like,
a backup, man.
There's so many.
He was a backup.
That's right. And I think he still is because like Freiermuth is their number one tight end. I'm just like, why are there so many of these dudes that we just should not make?
No.
Like, there's just so many of these dudes in these leagues that how did we build a 7'3 shooting guard? Like, how did we build a big-ass tight end who actually looks like an offensive tackle? Like, why do we have so many of these?
This just in. That Georgia team? Good.
Was very good. which also, I guess, like sub confession is I don't know why I forgot, but I went back and looked at that 2019 LSU team, and that was just an embarrassment of talent.
Yeah.
Like, they had, it was Jamar Chase, it was Justin Jefferson, and then they had another wide receiver that went to the league. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously Joe Burrow, and then on defense, Patrick Queen was on there.
Oh, man.
And I'm forgetting dudes right now. It was an embarrassment of talent. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Was Stingley on there?
Stingley was on there, too. It's just a real sick behavior seeing a team like that. Those are the fun ones, going back and looking at those teams. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I got to confess, and I confessed this before on this very segment. My mama crazy, man.
Oh, no.
My mama crazy, man.
How was she crazy this time?
She got me, I want to say it was Saturday. So usually she called me and she just be talking and rambling about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I just be like, yep. Like, I had no idea what she's talking about. We be on the phone for about 45 minutes of that. Just, And she dropped in right in the middle of this. Oh, you know your uncle, he just got out the hospital. I'm like, really? And like, yeah, they say he had some trouble breathing and his arm was numb. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, man. But she said he was out. So I'm like, okay, cool. Later on that day, my sister called me like, yeah, you know, uncle, did you hear about what happened to uncle? I'm like, yeah, mommy told me he went to the hospital. They say he got prostate cancer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm like, no. Really?
And I'm like, I talked to mommy. She told me he got to the hospital.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, maybe she don't know. So my mother called back later that night.
Yeah.
Just rambling again, rambling again. And then I dropped in like, hey, did you know Uncle had prostate cancer? Oh, yeah, I knew about that. I forgot to bring it up.
What in the world?
I'm like, that's the most doggone important part to bring up.
Don't bury the lead, man.
Yeah. I'm like, she made it seem like it was nothing. I'm like, ma.
Got a little touch of the prostate cancer.
Yeah, she like, that's wild. No, her response was, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I forgot about that.
It's not a small thing.
I'm like, all right, let me call my uncle right now then.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, I was thinking like I'd call him in a couple days and see how he's doing. I'm like, dang, now you left the most important part out.
Yeah.
My mother, man.
That's why. Like, at this point, it don't even need to be a confession. Just bring us the stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to hear mama's story.
Just forgot to let you know about that.
Yeah, I wish I could just record these conversations.
You can.
Yeah. I'm going to do it one day without her doggone consent because she don't listen. Watch this.
So one more on the Tyson Paul fight that frankly the confession is I was wrong on this because I speculate a lot of people were wrong, but I speculated, is there any way that Jake Paul could actually win here? You know, if he beats him, he loses,
like winning the
court of public opinion, whatever you want to call it, the marketing, the brand strategy or whatever. He won. No, 100%. No, he won. I think the combination of the reverence that he showed Mike Tyson, especially there at the end with the bow, bringing us Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano.
That was an incredible fight.
That fight wouldn't have happened without Jake Paul. He demanded that be the I read the story. He demanded they were originally going to plan some other fight. I don't know who it was, but he said no. I want them on the card. It was his card. It was his event, his
promotion,
and his promotion. And like I said, just the way he kind of handled it, beginning to end, Jake Paul won.
Yeah, I think and see at the very beginning when he first started doing this. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was kind of being a mockery of boxing and all that stuff. But the more I've been thinking about it, I'm like, man, he did put 20. He put 20 mil in Mike Tyson's pocket, man. And it wasn't nothing where he just got his ass whooped and he just mocking Mike Tyson. He did set him up for a good, nice little 20 mil and made bank off.
But also
of it.
Winning and the branding, the self, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, he was a winner as he walked away.
Yeah. And look, I don't know if it's going to be, I know a lot of boxing nerds will probably be rolling their eyes at this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like, I think honestly, people in boxing probably would want to get into this. They want to get some of that money too. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see other boxers trying to get in with Jake Paul so they can get that 20 mil too.
Continuing the degradation of the sport. I do think that you probably can get this rematch of Serrano Taylor without this particular, you know, card.
No, but not with this market, not with this that many eyes on it.
Which is fair. But
I think you could get it now. I think other people will probably try to get this matchup again that's not Jake Paul.
And I think that what you're trying to get to is something that I will agree with you on, and that just literally came in on the text line as I was about to say it, from the 832. Jake Paul is becoming one of the better promoters in this time with his ability to sell a fight.
Yes.
Now, I really hate the co-main has to be what the co-main has to be, but I would like it if he leans into like building really good fights.
Being a Dana White or something like that?
Well, not a Dana White, because you should probably pay your fighters.
Yeah, that's true. No, he actually...
A Don King?
No, he actually go out...
Again, you should probably pay your fighters.
And that's the other thing I appreciate about Jake Paul. He actually going out his way to make sure women get paid for their fights.
No, I'm with you. I get it was, you know, it could have happened. The vast majority of people watching had no idea who those women were.
Right.
And now they do. And it was good for the sport.
And the people that did know, did appreciate that. Yeah. And, of course, everybody got a chance to enjoy
Jake Paul,
that fight.
Got my respect, man. I didn't think that was going to happen.
I'm still held up on the fact that I think he could be a much better fighter than he gives himself an opportunity to be. But
You think he need to step in the ring for real?
Well, not just that, line up some good fights. Like, they don't have to be against, like, big-time boxers. But, again, that's the tough part. It's, like, you're not generating.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a chance to generate all that money. But, like, if he treats the discipline with the level of respect that it feels like it deserves. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the tough part. You're right. He's making these people money. He's creating a showcase for people that deserve it. Mm-hmm. But it feels like he's also doing that while making a mockery of, like, what the sport has been. And that feels like something where it's like, is that worth the balance? Like, is
but
that
if he doesn't
worth
do
the
it,
squeeze? I don't
not
know.
Not as many people watch.
It seems
if he doesn't do that.
But see, it seemed like this time wasn't as much of a mockery as it been in the past. Because I agree, in the past, I'm like, what is this YouTuber doing?
He fought a 58-year-old man.
Yeah. No, I get it. But if he didn't do that, the sport wouldn't have benefited.
Yeah, I think...
it's almost like the balance you got to get.
And I think the way he did it, it kind of... made me respect him a little more, because if he would have just gotten there whoop his ass and bragging and all that stuff, it's just like, dude, come on, man.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But you could tell they had some type of agreement, like, no knockdowns, let's just get this money.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got it, fam. Y'all got it.
You ain't buying in?
I'm not buying in, but I can respect the things that he has done that have been helpful.
I was on board with you. I came around to it, though.
Yeah.
I'm not getting there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Coming up next, let's go around the AFC South, which saw a beatdown involved in it. We'll talk about that more next.